Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time!
The shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Eklund by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
We are Chris Mason every Wednesday on the program, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. See, Mace now joins us in Vegas, where Willie is. Predators and Golden Knights tomorrow night, 9 o'clock puck drop. They'll have their coverage starting at 8:30 on Bally Sports. We'll have our coverage here starting at 8 o'clock on the radio side here tomorrow night as they round out this road trip. Tomorrow night. See, Mace, what happened in Anaheim? Have you ever had that happen where you were sitting on the bench for a bulk of the game, and all of a sudden there's a blade issue, skate malfunction, something's going on with the starting goaltender, and all of a sudden you've got to jump over the wall and you've got to go in there and replace them for 44 seconds? Maybe you didn't, you know, obviously you didn't do it for that time frame, but have you ever had anything like that happen before?
Yeah, absolutely. When guys get injuries or something like that, and you're sitting on the bench and, you know, the game's going the way it is and you think there's no chance you're going in, all of a sudden, boom. It's like an instant shot of adrenaline. So, I didn't know what happened at first, but you saw David Rittich there, especially when it's in the third period. You're sitting there for 2.5 hours and all of a sudden you got to go in. And, it's like a jolt of adrenaline for sure.
Give us the trade secrets on goalies. Like, what are some tips you can do? UC was trying to, like, basically get them to blow the whistle. It's like, come on, I got something going on here. I need play to stop so I can address this. You know there are goaltenders that if they need play to stop and they don't feel like they're going to get the whistle, they could do something on their own to make it stop. So what are a couple tricks of the trade to do that?
Well, one is the old one is you push the net off or you take your helmet off. Now guys are doing that and they get the whistle to blow. But it's a helpless feeling. Obviously, Staros was trying to get the attention. And I don't know the rules on that, to be honest, if it's a skate malfunction or an equipment thing, if they can actually stop the game. But usually it used to be just guys would put the net off and they'd give them some time. The ref would blow the whistle. So it's a moment of panic, though, that's for sure. Especially when it's your skate. Like, there's nothing you can do. You know, we don't normally see Staros get fired up too much, but he wanted that whistle in a hurry. He couldn't push out on his left skate.
You have certainly been, in fact, you're probably wearing a Roman Josi button right now on your shirt or your jacket. You have been campaigning, rightfully so, and we've all been discussing the captain's play this year. Hopefully the national media is listening and taking notice to what he's doing, because everything you're throwing out there is 100% true, and I get it. Makar is on the shiny team that's basically the best team in hockey, so usually they get a bump. But when you watch Roman Josi night in and night out like we do, you realize he's doing something really, really special at his position.
Yeah, you know, this is a tough year because actually Willie and I were talking on the plane last night, or on the bus, sorry, and you know, it's both of these guys honestly deserve to win it. They're both having historic seasons, and it's one of those things where, you know, someone that loses this award or doesn't win it deserves to win it, and it's really tough. But the thing that I guess frustrates me is, and as you mentioned, when there's a certain narrative that, you know, happens in the middle of the season, and obviously Cale Makar, he's going to win a handful of these awards down the road. He may win this year, but it's tough to change that, and it's tough to, you know, change what people think. And once it catches fire, you know, everyone's kind of regurgitating the same stuff over and over and over again, and it's tough to change that narrative. But, you know, what Willie and I and the broadcast team and Jacob Underwood are trying to do is just change the narrative. Just look at this from a different perspective. Obviously, Cale Makar's got the highlight reel goals, and you mentioned the shining team there in Colorado that gets a lot more, you know, national play than the Predators do. But once you start introducing, you know, hey, look at it from this angle, or look at, you know, the zone entries in this part of the game, and obviously Roman Yossi's got the points, and it's hard to believe that Makar is still the guy that everyone thinks should win the award. And when Hockey Night in Canada was here, when the Toronto Maple Leafs game, Chris Cuthbert actually came up to Williard and said, you know what, I thought when you guys were, you know, blowing the Roman Yossi horn that you guys were crazy, and then I started to listen to what you're saying and the graphic that you put up, and he's like, and now I think it should be Roman Yossi. So it does work, and I think it's effective to get that information out there, especially guys that have credibility in the business and have a voice, and it's obviously the Professional Hockey Writers Association, I think, that votes for this award. So these guys have reputations on it. It makes them look smarter if they have more information to tell the whole story.
Yeah, sometimes it's just awareness, making sure everybody is has access to the numbers that tell the story, so you have the whole story. So, Mace, it has been heavy travel here. The group's in Vegas. Unfortunately, Chase McCabe has not made it out here. We were making fun of him earlier as he was heading for the airport. He's coming to the game tomorrow against the Golden Knights. But there is a broadcast gathering, I believe, that they'll be heading to meet you after the show here. Can you describe your surroundings right now, and will there be a cannonball post-interview today?
Well, there has been the tease of a cannonball by none other than Hal Gill, obviously. And I'm in the cabana place right now, Lindsay and Hal are in the pool, and there's sports, these giant, I've never seen anything like it, giant TVs with sports all over, some betting lines on the side, and we're getting, obviously, Tyreek Hill got traded today, and got the baseball, tennis, golf, we got it all here. It's going to be a blast. Can't wait to get here.
Okay, so I'm told, and this is, I don't have this confirmed, but there is a possibility at this place that is a sports book. Darren, you'll love this. Betting on spring training baseball.
Yeah. With a number attached to it. You may want to call because you have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's tough. That takes a lot of courage to do that. Maybe stupidity, or you got a gambling problem, which is not good.
Oh, boy. So let's turn our attention to the game tomorrow night. The Vegas Golden Knights in a really interesting spot here. It is one of the craziest stories of the season. And all the wheeling and dealing that they've done has gone side by side with a ton of injuries. And all of a sudden, they're a desperate team that's below the playoff line for the first time all year long. And they've played more games than anybody else. So I think the word desperate is going to be used a lot tomorrow when we get to the rink.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in a way, maybe that's how the Predators, they thrive on that. And it's been really, I think, frustrating the last couple of games is the starts to the game have just not been there. And, you know, what happened last night could have easily happened in Anaheim had Saros not been incredible on the, you know, the first 10, 15 minutes of that period. So, you know, you can sometimes win or lose the game in those moments. And I think they lost it in L.A. because of that. It was tough to, you know, the teams always get a battle back, and I respect that a lot about them. They never quit. They never give up and all those things, which is really good. But, you know, at the end of the day, that start, that 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, that could dictate the outcome of the game, whether you play, you know, the next 50 minutes better than, you know, L.A. or whoever it is. So to me, that start is going to be absolutely massive. And you mentioned Vegas is desperate. They're Winnipeg's back in it now. You know, it's Dallas is the games in hand on Vegas. Everybody does. And they're a big, you know, they went out and traded some good players to get Jack Eichel, and it hasn't worked out, and they've had a lot of injury issues, and they haven't been good since he's been back in the lineup. So this is a team that's definitely real, and like, the Preds are going to have to be ready, and I maybe think, you know, that's a good thing for the Preds going into this game, and they need it because, you know, you don't come out hard in Vegas and give up a couple early goals, you know, it could be game over.
Well, and the other thing, Mace, as we wrap this up, you got the defense core, which has to be a big concern. Of course, last night, the overall performance wasn't good, but when you just look at positionally, Dante Fabro out. They lost Mark Borowiecki during the game last night. Not sure what his status is. And then, of course, Matthias Ekholm flying in the day of a game. Hopefully, he'll be better tomorrow night. and then the new guy in Jeremy Lazan. So a lot to juggle on the blue line right now.
Yeah, like I honestly wonder if Ekholm was going to play had Favreau not been out. It's tough, as you mentioned. There's a lot of issues there, and that's why the Lazan trade was made, because this is going to happen at this point in the season, and you've got some guys obviously in Milwaukee that you trust and that you think are good players or will be good players. But are you willing to risk that as the team you put in the lineup for the last 20 games of the season? You need that depth. And right now, you start with the mix and match, and they're playing 5 D-men last night, and it was tough. So they got some issues there, and hopefully that'll get sorted. I'm not sure if we'll see a recall here or what the situation's going to be with all the guys. But, that's when you can never have enough at that position. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, tomorrow.
Chris, try to make the most of it today. Hope you guys can, fight through everything and be ready for tomorrow night. Thanks for doing
Thanks, Dina. It'll be tough. It'll be tough, but we'll do our best.
You'll be in our thoughts, okay? Yeah. Our thoughts.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, C-Mace. All right, Chris Mason, every Wednesday, toughing it out in the cabana.
He was a rager behind
Vegas,
him, wasn't he?
Vegas poolside. Skills, he's doing cannonballs. So he's probably going, hey, everybody, I've got a very important announcement to make. Cannonball!
Everybody was probably on the other side like, come on, hurry up, C-Mace.
I know. They're waving.
Come what on. Are you doing? Get off the phone.
They're like slapping their wrists like, TikTok, let's go.
Oh, man.
Chris Get off Mason. The cell phone, loser.
We got spring training in 20 minutes. Who do you want? The Padres. Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. We'll come back. We'll talk about this Preds team tomorrow night in Vegas against the Golden Knights before returning home as, gosh, we're about done with March, and we're going into the final month of the regular season. We'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Another chance tomorrow morning at 8:45. Preds pick to click. You know that's how it works during the week on game days. You're going to call into the morning show. And if you get chosen, you're going to pick a Predators player to score a goal that night. And if it happens, you score yourself some tickets to a future home game. Remember, that's tomorrow morning at 8:45. That's brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Back here on the DDC, or is it the DVC? What is it? Darryl McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. And this Predators team going into game 65 tomorrow night in Vegas against the Golden Knights. Dealing with some stuff. You had Dante Fabro out of the lineup last night. Matias Ekholm missed a game in Anaheim, rushed into the game last night. Mark Borowiecki, he's been back for a game or two, and then he gets banged up last night early in the second period. It looked bad, but John Hines said after the game he's okay, but really didn't have any update. I don't know what that means moving forward. They've traded for some depth pieces. Lazan has played 2 games now for them. I guess let's just start there. What do you make of anything stand out? One, I know it's a very small sampling. 2 games, Jeremy Lazan on this road trip. What are your early thoughts?
My early thoughts are that he's probably had to play more in a bigger role than they anticipated right off the bat. So he's been thrown into a very tough situation. What's interesting is the more I look at the analytics people and their opinion of Jeremy Lazan, it's all the same. That he does not score very well in the analytics categories. Now, if you look at some other things that are not as attractive to analytics, like physicality, hits, things like that, he does score very well. They gave up a second-round pick to get him, and they really feel like David Poile was adamant that this is not just a guy they want for this year, that they see him as a guy at age 24 that has a lot of upside and will improve and will be a good fit. And you don't give up a second-round pick unless you really feel strongly about that. So whether he had said that or not, I think it speaks for itself. He's under team control. In other words, he can't become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So he'll be a pretty cheap re-up, if you will, which is attractive to any team. But in the meantime, the real question is, what can he give them? Because he's got to play. He's got to play big minutes because I don't know how long Fabro's going to be out, but he's going to be out tomorrow. Don't know about Borowiecki. I guess I was encouraged that John Hines said he's okay, because that looked like it could be really bad. Like when he basically stopped. You know, he tried to skate away after he collided with the end boards. He got sort of snapped back into the end boards, and he got to the front of the net, and he just kind of keeled over. And I was thinking, boy, you just don't see that. Like right in a dangerous area like that, he just kind of said, I can't keep moving. So I don't know if he can bounce back and play tomorrow, but the depth is being tested. And so Lauzon, they're really fortunate that they got him, but how quick can he acclimate and give them good minutes?
All right, I've got a question to ask because I don't understand this. I'm very confused, and so help me with this. So NHL Public Relations tweeted out. Now, this was last night. I get it, and they're getting it from the stat sheet, right, that we're all looking at. But they tweeted out the Los Angeles Kings have scored an even strength goal, a power play goal, and a shorthanded goal in the first period of a game for the fourth time in 20 years. And then they list the other three times they did it. And they're referencing last night's game. Now, I kept, because you know how this works, Willie. They put stuff up and, you know, you have to refresh every once in a while because they make changes, right? They award goals to players that they change or assists, they change. Sometimes they put up power play goal, they change. And so I kept refreshing all night because they had Kaliev's goal in the second goal in the first period as a power play goal the entire night. And I remember what happened. It was a delayed penalty. Jonathan Quick was beginning to skate off the ice. There wasn't even an extra attacker at that point, I don't think. And LA scored that goal. And then they started the power play after that. And so I kept wondering, like, they're going to change this. And so I never once called it a power play goal last night. I kept refreshing. He kept refreshing. They never changed it. The NHL tweeted that out.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
It was a power play goal.
What? Why is it a power play goal?
Because there was already a power play going when the delayed penalty happened.
There was?
Yeah.
No, I thought Granlund was getting hit with the penalty.
He was, but there was a previous penalty that was going on. In fact, that was what was frustrating, is they were easily killing off the first power play, and then all of a sudden it was going to be a 5-on-3, and then it was a delayed penalty on Granlund, and that's when the goal happened.
Okay, I've got to go back and look at that. I don't know what, where am I? I did not real. Okay, all right. I mean, that
Colton
makes Sisson's a ton got of
the
sense.
Cross check. Colton Sisson's called for cross-check at 5-11.
I thought that had died off. Oh, okay. Egg on my face. I don't know it why was, I thought that penalty was over.
Well, it was close to being over. And so that was what was interesting, is that the penalty for Granlund still was assessed.
Right.
Because Sisson's was coming out of the box, so Granlund had to go back into the box. If it was just a 5-on-5 goal, on a delayed penalty, the guy doesn't go into the box. So that was
Sisson's cross check. So that was finishing up. Okay. All right. Good. At least I have peace of mind with that. I was driving myself crazy. Like, why do they still have that? This is a power play goal. All right. That makes a ton of sense. So thank you for clearing that up. All right. Let's get back to what we were talking about, as I just sidetracked us for nothing. That could have been pretty easily figured out. I don't know why I thought that penalty was up, and I could not figure out why. I think I was just obsessed with they were calling the penalty a penalty on Granlund, and I knew the extra attacker wasn't out there, and I was like, why do they keep awarding that a power play goal? Anyway, all right. Dang it. I hate when that happens.
Shake it off, man. It's
come
over.
On, no, yeah, it's over. Come on
Shake
now.
I know, but you know, you just now I got to live with that for a couple plays, right? I mean, it's like, dang it.
You got to have
yell about it. That was so stupid.
Hey, short memory in this business, man. Come on.
If I was at the cabana, I could blame it on the cabana, you know?
Yep.
Hey, where they are right now, you can blame everything where they are.
Garen, hurry up. Come on.
I was distracted. Unfortunately, I wasn't distracted here. You guys could have been distracted where you've been on this road trip. All right. So what do they do? How do they, you know, how does this thing, you think, play out moving forward? And if they need, if bodies are going to be out, who else, you know, Tennyson has been in. So how do you think they're going to use, and do you think because of that loss, as we've talked about so many times, do they make a change? Do they change, you know, switch some things up, coaches, John?
Well, they just made a change. I mean, that's the thing. They just put Tennyson in and basically demoted Phil Myers and traded for Jeremy Lazan. So these are the guys. I think there's a chance if Borowiecki is hurt that you might see Davies get recalled, but, you know, we're a long way away. He just left.
What do you think they like about Tennyson more than Davies? I thought Davies Tennyson played pretty good.
Well, Tennyson's experienced. He's played a lot longer in the league. He's older. I think his game is simple, but he didn't have a good game last night. I thought he had some turnovers, and he got exposed a little bit. Hopefully it's just a one-game thing. Look, you can have a bad game. But I think the pairs and everything were just off last night for all those reasons. And it wasn't a night where they could make up for it with making a lot of plays. The forwards, you know, there have been some games where they've given up three or four goals, but they've been bailed out because Josi, Forsberg, Duchesne, they make enough plays to overcome it. And last night was not one of those nights. Now, 6-1 really isn't indicative. It's a 3-1 game going into the third. And then you had a turnover that turns right around and becomes a 2-on-1 the other way.
Yep.
Dead goal, 4-1. Then they pull the goalie, and then there was a weird goal that happened. That's one of those bad beats if you went over-under. I don't know what the over-under was last night, Darren. I would imagine it was, I don't know, probably 6.5 or 5.5. That weird goal at the end of the game where it's after an empty net goal. So the game's over. David Rittich comes back into the game. He tries to clear a puck up the boards. He's out of the net, and it gets intercepted and put back in. That might have hit the over for somebody. So that might have been a Scott Van Pelt bad beat. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I didn't look. I don't know if that's a 6.5 game. I'm not sure, Willie. Those are rare. Rare. I mean, typically it's a Colorado game.
Not as rare.
Not as rare. A Colorado game, a Florida game. But I didn't look. So, look, I've already, you know. Could there be a mistake too in this segment? Sure, yeah. Clearly, I've already been mistake prone. I've already had one drop this segment. So, but I didn't see what the over one. I'm just going on looking at them in the back. It's pretty rare to see it. But you're right. It's more. It's becoming more and more commonplace
There's
in the league because of all
scored.
The scoring. Yes,
there's more goals being scored.
But usually, even six is still a good high number. As an
well,
over, but it may have been 6.5.
My point is 4-1.
It was the over.
6-1.
Yeah, it became
pretty
the over
quick.
No matter what. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the Predators have to regroup. The good thing is they have done a good job of, after they have a stinker, bouncing back with a strong effort the next game. They'll have to lean on that, but they're going to have to sort out the defense pairs because you've got the new guy, you've got injured guys. Do you call up Davies? Do you need to call up Davies? Or will it be the same six? You know, what are you going to get from Tennyson going forward? He gave him a nice lift, right? They were the games Tennyson had played, handful of games, what, three or four? He was productive in all of them. But it is a little different when you go on the road, and, you know, there's a reason he's been in the minors more than he's been in the majors the last couple years of his career. So what kind of mileage can you get out of him?
Come back. Robert Woods said he talked to some people before coming here, before choosing, putting the Titans on his list to possibly be traded to. We're going to hear that and discuss on the other side. But right now I'm going to discuss Wager. You've heard me for weeks now talking about them, and it is that time. Hey, they're about to get cranked up again tomorrow night. The NCAA tournament, they're going to whittle this thing to four by the weekend. and it's time for me to do another wager user shout-out. Shout-out to at Pharaoh. Yep, betting against me on Golden State versus Orlando game last night, and for funding my account by taking the L. And, yeah, that's what we do. Talk smack, right? And, by the way, I got off to a rough start, but I'm just going to put it out there. My record right now on wager is 35-27. Yeah, I've got 35 wins, 27 losses. That's not bad. And I got another win last night. But appreciate the Bet Pharaoh for jumping on that. I'll be putting out some more. I've been having a blast with these wagers, connecting with the 102.5 The Game community. For those who don't know, talking about this cool new app, Wager, W-A-G-R. Rather than placing a bet against the sportsbook, Wager let you send bets directly to other people right here in the state of Tennessee. It can be your friends. It can be your coworkers. It can be me, as you just heard. As you can tell, I've been doing a lot of bets with you guys, and I appreciate that. And thanks to Wager, I didn't have to go chase anyone down. I had to go chase Pharaoh down. Yeah, the money, when I beat him, it's there. And how nice is that? Also, you can smack talk, as I said on there, follow other users and see what other people are wagering on. It's really, really cool. And I'm sending out more. Hopefully, you'll be accepting more. And if you send me some, I'll accept some wagers as well. I do that every day. So if you want to try and make some money off me, download the app in your phone's browser at wager.me/DMAC. Join the 102.5 The Game crew. And let's wager. Again, that's wager, wager.me/DMAC, D-M-A-C. Today's wagers will be going out soon, so jump on it. As always, if you have to be 21 years of age or older to play. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-889-9789. Newest Titans wide receiver Robert Woods speaking with the media today here in town. He talked to Josh Reynolds coming here. A guy that wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Saffold, who's been cut. Antoine Woods. He gone. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. You know, who you talk to. I've always wondered how that works because typically, I would think you're talking to guys that are on the roster, but He's talking to a lot of guys that, you know, and I realize Roger Saffold, you know, nothing's changed really other than he's not currently on the roster, but he played through to the end. But I perked up. I was like, wow, you talked to Josh Reynolds, the guy that wanted out of here, and sounds like he got an endorsement. Couldn't have been that unhappy. Just saying. He sounds like a good guy. In fact, we had a couple people on our text line say that he sounds like a good guy, that they were impressed listening to the little bit that we played of him talking today. And I think it's safe to say he is a good guy. We know he's a good receiver. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy because typically organizations don't owe you anything. If they move on without you, they're just going to cut you or they're going to trade you to the highest bidder. Instead, they came to him and said, who do you want to go to? And we'll see if we can make a deal work.
Yeah, it's if he doesn't succeed, I don't think it's going to be because of his makeup. I think he really does have a great reputation. I loved how he handled himself in that press conference. He had his answer ready when Teron asked that question. Man, he listed a bunch of stuff.
Sure did.
I mean, he went right down the list. It's all about the knee. You know, how quick can he? Now, that was something, Derek, that he was not committal, and that was smart. You know, I think it's – we saw with Bud Dupree. He made the mistake of just making it, I'm going to be ready for opening day, and the reality was it just wasn't ready yet. It took him a while. He probably would have been better served to wait a little longer before he tried to give it a go. He might have been at his highest level quicker that way. So – Bobby Trees, he was like, hey, no timetable. It's going to be ready as quick as it can. But I think we need to sort of hedge our bets in as to whether he'll be ready to go at the beginning of the season.
Well, you don't want to put that out there that, oh, I'll be ready. And then, yeah, you may be ready physically. You may be ready in the physical form, like you're out there, but you're not ready to be at the level you were at before you got injured. And if you go out there and say, yeah, I will be ready. Fans and everyone will take that as, oh, he's ready physically, mentally, everything. So he goes out there and things are not going well, then everybody's going to point to, well, he said he was going to be ready, and he's, you know, judging by what's going on, he's really not ready. So he didn't want that to be hanging over his head or trying to rush back to prove a point. This is going to take some time. And he's going to come back as fast as he possibly can. But you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're trying to please everyone else except your body. You know, you're trying to please the fans or the media people or the organization when, in fact, your body's telling you, I'm not ready yet. Don't do it. I'm not ready yet. Then you find yourself in a position where you're going to be sitting more than you're playing, or your play dips tremendously.
Why wouldn't week one be realistic?
It's an ACL. You just never know, man.
So, Jeffrey Simmons tore his in February.
You just never know.
It took him about halfway point. Then he came back. Odell Beckham did his in February, so clearly he's going to miss half of a season.
But was Jeffrey Simmons the same player during that whole process than he was the year later? A year later, he was a much better player, explosiveness-wise, a year later than he was when he was coming off the injury.
Well, but those were also his first ever games in the NFL. That was going to take time anyway, right?
But you didn't see the explosiveness early on because he was still working through an injury.
I thought we were pretty impressed by Jeffrey Simmons his rookie year.
You didn't see, toward the latter part of his rookie year, you were when he really started to get healthy.
Right, but
you
that's 3 it? Months later after the Woods when he did it. He did it in early
but
November.
Everybody's different. Exactly. Different.
And you don't know how the tear was for him than what it is for Robert Woods and what it is for Odell Beckham. We just don't know. Some people it takes a while to come back. I mean, ask Taylor Lewan. He blew out his knee. It took him a whole year to be, you know, for us to say, okay, it looks as if he's over the injury. Because when he came back, there was still like, he's not the same Taylor Lewan. Even throughout the whole season, he's not the same Taylor Lewan.
Yeah. So there's two issues. It's when do you first become available to play? And then B, when are you playing the way that you hope you're going to be playing? Bud Dupree went through all the stages, right? He came back too early, had to shut it down. There was a period of time where he was playing, but he was not making a big impact. And then by the end of the year, you started to see, you know, this is what they signed up for. This is what they were hoping for. But it took a long time to get there.
That's why they're going to have to draft another receiver.
Well, I agree with you. But, I what's interesting is John Robinson has been willing to gamble. There's kind of this, why is this guy available? Well, because he's got a pretty major injury. But he's available for a 6th-round pick. I'll take the risk. You know, why is Jeffrey Simmons available at that spot in the first round? He's injured. Plus, they had the other thing that they vetted very carefully. But they're like, I can get this guy here. I think there's a thing with the small schools, too. Like, I think he's willing to say, why is this guy available? Because he went to a small school. I'm willing to take the risk. Farley is another one. Why is he available? I'd have him graded higher, but he's down here available at this moment because he's coming off of an injury. He's got injury issues. He's willing to take the gambles. Some have really panned out. Others have not. So this is the latest in a line of these things. And I think they're banking on Robert Woods, his makeup. He's going to work hard. He's going to get back to 100%. But we just won't know what he's going to look like. I'll give you another. Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt looked like he was starting to come around as a really good receiver. He was dominating some games. Then he tore his ACL. He was never the same.
For a receiver, when you tell that ACL, man, it's hard. You got to work extremely hard to come back and be what you once were. That's just the nature of the position in the sports. Just like running back, if you tear that ACL or do something to that foot or ankle, man, it's going to take a lot. And you cannot, and I repeat, you cannot rush it back. Because if you do, we're going to be on these airways, and everybody that's cheering, they're going to say, why did he go get an injured player? Why? That's what they're going to say.
Yep.
you know? So I think the talent is there. He's proven that the talent is there. But if he doesn't, if he's not the same player because of this injury, or he doesn't, or he's in and out of the lineup because of this injury, then it was a bad deal for this franchise. It really was. I know they only gave up a 6-round pick, but it's a bad deal because now it affects what the quarterback does as well.
49ers are going to re-sign Jeff Wilson, their running back, so he's going back to San Fran. Vanderbilt has lost an assistant coach because he's been named a head coach somewhere else. We'll tell you about that. Plus, we've got to get Villy to weigh in on what the Musketeers did, because they went savage on Vanderbilt after the 2-point win last night. We never got him to weigh in on what they did on Twitter. We'll do all that to close out Wednesday's edition of the DDC next. Almost, Jim. Smashville Live tonight, 6 o'clock hour, right here on these airwaves. Special guest, AJ Malesko. Cool. From ESPN. That'll be a fun show. 6 o'clock hour tonight with AJ. She's really fun. That'll be a good show. You can also watch that show on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live every week brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Back here on the DDC, and it looks like Jerry Stackhouse, Coach Stack, has lost an assistant coach. Ed Conroy is going to be the new basketball coach at Citadel. And what's interesting about that is he's been Citadel's coach before their head coach. He was Citadel's head coach, and then he got the job at Tulane, and he was the Tulane head coach. And then he was an assistant at Minnesota and then spent the season this year at Vanderbilt as an assistant, but going back to Citadel to be their head coach. So congratulations to him.
Opportunity.
You don't see that very often.
What do you
right?
think about that, Billy?
Well, the running joke about Jerry Stackhouse staff is he's got plenty of them. He's got a big staff.
Leaves him 20 assistants now.
They've got a lot of people on staff. But it is interesting. I think you know, having been over there a little bit more and gotten to know them, I think they really do a good job. I think Jerry Stackhouse, he really delegates to his assistants. So I'll be curious to see how he fills that role. Does he just do it from within, or, you know, is there somebody else that he brings in there? But it's always nice, I think, when you get somebody off your staff that gets hired as a head coach. I think that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Was Xavier doing anything right last night on Twitter? Because they kind of went savage on Vanderbilt.
Okay, we're going to end where we started, because Derek asked the question of the day.
Yes.
Can you throw shade when you're in the NIT?
You can't, Willie. You can't throw shade when you're in the NIT.
We've been waiting 3 hours and 50 minutes to answer this question. Can you be a savage on Twitter during an NIT, after an NIT game?
But tell people what they did for people that didn't see it. So Vanderbilt announced
it was
the new
short
logo
sweet.
Yesterday.
Yeah. It was short and sweet, just like AJ Brown's tweet. Said should have Xavier tweeted out should have kept the old logo, which they shifted the V to an L. So they had the new logo kind of tilted. They tilted it.
Yeah.
They tilted it to an L.
And they put it in the font of the new Vanderbilt logo, which, of course, just like every logo change or uniform announcement, everybody goes nuts. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. You know, we tackled that yesterday. But, look, this is happening a lot on social media. There's a lot of teams, official teams, that have sort of put aside the let's stay always classy at all times, and they've gone for the let's be witty, let's push the boundaries a little bit, let's jab the other team. Among the first teams to do it is where I am right now, right? Vegas, remember how Vegas came in as the new kid on the block, and their Twitter, they got really snarky.
Sure did.
Right? They were throwing shade left and right.
But you can
and
understand
like,
it from
you
that.
Been in this league. But it's so many more teams have sort of followed in those footsteps now. Like even Vanderbilt, if you take a look, like Vanderbilt got jabbed last night, but Vanderbilt was jabbing Tennessee in the football game. Remember, Tennessee beat them, but they threw some really funny jabs. You know, it's almost like the fraternity houses going back and forth.
But that's a long-standing like battle between these two teams every year. So I can understand that. But Xavier, you're in the NIT. The NIT. That's like, you know, and I love, I mean.
Now they're in the Final Four.
It doesn't matter if they're in the Final Four of the NIT. I can be in the Final Four of the Rec League. That don't mean I'm going to start throwing shade at, I don't know, LeBron James. You know, my team's better than yours in the Rec League. Like, seriously? Dude, you're playing in the Rec League. I'm in the NBA. NBA, Rec League, two different things. NIT, big tournament. NIT, big tournament. Those are two different things, okay? Great they made it. They beat Vandy. But don't then throw shade at Vandy like you just – I mean, that's like, I don't know. That's like the second to last person throwing shade at the last person. Like, neither one of us won. Why are you throwing shade at me? My goodness, I don't get that, man. Xavier, chill.
All right, we got to read this text because this cracks me up. This is going back to our Baker conversation. This is Wes in Clarksville, and it did make me laugh. So, I think this is a pretty serious text, so I want you guys to weigh in on our text line from WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes asks, do you think that maybe they should get Baker here as the backup, as we were discussing earlier in the show, and let him do some TV commercials at Nissan Stadium? Maybe he could help with the renovation project.
It's not going to be a renovation, for one. It's going to be a tear down and a rebuild. But I would like to see having Baker as the stadium guy.
How about
guy
him living at the new stadium? How about him living at the new stadium?
That's a good text. That's a fun text.
Oh, man. I would watch the commercials.
I would watch.
Exactly. I love his commercials, man.
And he would have more time as serving as just the backup, right? People wouldn't get on to him about doing commercials because that's what people do when athletes do commercials. Like, maybe he should spend more time with their craft.
That is a part of his craft.
But nobody ever says that to Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and all the others, the great ones that do commercials. Yeah. It's the ones that struggle.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, I mean, Baker, keep doing your commercials.
By the way, Marcus didn't do any commercials here.
Exactly, so.
I mean, didn't help him.
It is what it is. Baker, keep doing your thing. We won't see those commercials anymore.
I know. This is what we need it. A new line. What are we going to do now?
Gosh. Man, I hate that now. We won't see Baker doing those commercials anymore.
Nope.
Or we can just be walking in any stadium.
They go. By the way, Jared is going to react to the Tyreek Hill trade, the big massive trade that happened during our show today. He's going to start right out of the gates and tell you why this is a good thing for the Titans.
The salary cap doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, though. How did the Chiefs not get it?
I remember him in Carolina.
The salary cap doesn't matter.
I mean, we were at Bridgestone, and they walked in, and I said, the cap does matter. Look at Kansas City, both of them, Carolina and Georgia. Look at Kansas City. They're paying everybody. Well, they ain't paying Tyreek.
He gone.
I love you, too, by the way. Carolina and Jared, I love both of y'all.
That's going to do it for our show today. Have a great rest of this beautiful Wednesday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. By American players, for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.